73. Psalm 73 is the beginning of the third book of the Psalms. The Psalms are divided into five books, just as are the books of Moses, and they correspond very closely to them. The third book of Moses is Leviticus. The third book of the Psalms begins with Psalms written by Asaph, who was a Levite. This is a book of worship. And there's a great deal here that will be helpful to believers in drawing near to the Lord and worshiping Him. Now, one of the great problems that we face is that we don't trust the Lord fully. We don't understand all that He's doing, and we become critical of His ways. We might not say it out loud, but we feel that things are not just exactly fair. And the problem of Psalm 73 is, what about these wicked people who are getting by with it? What's the use of my trying to live the right kind of a life when these people do as they please and they prosper and they get along fine? That's the problem here. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now that's the statement of his problem. He acknowledges that he has a problem. Some Christians are afraid to do this. They're afraid that if they acknowledge that they have problems, if they acknowledge that there's something wrong in their own hearts, that somehow or other they might miss out or lose out in their fellowship with God. But this is the very route that we have to follow if we're going to have fellowship with God. We must be honest in God's presence. Now, this problem still exists. I've faced it, and you have too. And beginning with verse 4 and going through verse 12, he describes the wicked. They are arrogant, and they're corrupt, and worst of all, they're prosperous. Now, in the Old Testament, God promised prosperity to the godly Jew. I mean, temporal prosperity. Prosperity here in this life. This is not true for us as Christians. We are not promised that we will be prosperous if we are godly. There are many godly Christians who suffer need. The Apostle Paul said, I know how to be full and I know how to suffer need. And you'll have to know how to do both. He was not a godly Christian when he had plenty and a failing Christian when he didn't have enough to eat. Of course not. In our present day, the Lord has not promised temporal prosperity to His people. And if you're one of His people and you are prospering, remember that God is just making you to be His steward. And you ought to be faithful as a steward and remember that it's really not yours at all. But as I said, in the Old Testament, the Jews were promised prosperity. And David looks around and sees that these wicked people are prospering too. And he said, it just isn't fair. And in verses 13 to 16, he complains about it by saying, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. But he doesn't say it out loud. I'm glad for that. He says, if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. This is something that went on in David's mind, in his heart. He just thought it over, and he was tormented by it. He says, what's the use? Now there's a change at verse 17, and it begins with the word until. I did all of these things until. I felt like this until. I had a hard time understanding all this until. Until what? Until he got into God's presence. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. You see, it isn't the life, it's the end that counts. When you and I get into God's presence, and we get a sight of things the way God sees them, and we see the future, and we see what's going to happen to those who die without Christ, and we see what's going to happen to those who have lived to please the Lord, who are really His own, then we understand things. And when he did see all this, he says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors? Now, he says, I understand. God is going to settle this thing later on. There was a man who, in order to mock God, deliberately flaunted the Lord's Day. He was a farmer, and the story goes that he plowed his field on Sunday. He planted it on Sunday. He cultivated the crop on Sunday, and he harvested it on Sunday, and he announced to the neighborhood, "I got a better crop than I did any other crop I've ever raised." And people didn't know how to answer him. One day he said this to a godly Christian, and the Christian looked at him with pity in his eyes and said to him, "What you don't know is that God doesn't settle all his accounts in October. You think you've gotten by with sinning against God. You think you're getting by with doing as you please. What is ahead? Slippery places, destruction, desolation, and to be utterly consumed with terrors. That's what's ahead. What about the rich man in the 16th chapter of Luke? Oh, he fared sumptuously every day. He was attired in purple and linen. He had everything that heart could wish until he died. But because he died without Christ, he died without hope. And he was so poor in hell that he asked for one drop of water to cool his parched tongue and never got it. If you live for this world, if this is all there is as far as you're concerned, I warn you there's a day coming when you'll have to meet God." Now in verses 21 and 22, David feels remorse over this. He says, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Lord, I made a terrible mistake. I only saw what could be seen with the natural eye." You remember the Lord tells us the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What is it that really counts? What day am I living for, today or the eternal day? And so, as he feels this remorse over his foolishness, well, that's what it really was. He was just foolish. He just was ignorant. He just wasn't looking at things from God's viewpoint. But there's forgiveness, because in verse 23 he says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee." I was in verse 22, I am in verse 23. I was foolish, but I am back in fellowship now with the Lord. The Lord has forgiven me. Thou hast holding me by my right hand. The Lord was looking after me all the time. And so I'm willing to trust him now. And that's what you have in verse 24. "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. I'm glad, Lord, to leave it in your hands. I'm glad to have your will in my life. I'm looking forward to the time when I will be received into glory." This is in contrast to the destruction and the being consumed with terrors in verses 18 and 19. For the Christian, it's glory ahead. It's heaven ahead. Verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." That is, I am satisfied with God. I am satisfied with God's ways. I'm willing now to leave it in his hands. I know that he's going to settle the accounts in his own good time. I know that it is worthwhile to live for the Lord, regardless of who has the prosperity at the present moment. Now he says in verse 26, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Is God your portion? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus?